Oh, we love Lynette's sense of humour. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Let's welcome Bus Lynette Tobin. God bless you this morning. Great having you with us.
Thank you, Nigel. You may be seated. How about giving the Lord a clap? He's worthy, eh? I love coming here. It's great. I've just been back from India for about a week and a half. So if I start nodding, you know what's happened. And if I sort of stop, it's because I'm waiting for my interpreter to come. You know the feeling? Praise God. Finishing well. I'm not quite actually where I saw this picture, but it was when they were advertising me. I don't know if it was Wellard or here, but I thought it was great actually because I actually called it I Am. But you know, they had a picture of someone under the blanket, so I don't know who put that on. But they had someone under the blanket and said, oh no! You know, I thought about that. Isn't it amazing then when things are going wrong and, you know, we don't understand what's going on? Isn't it great to get under your blankets? But I thought about that. You know, we get under our blankets, we hide under there. Isn't that right? But all we're doing is isolating ourselves. Are we not? And what happens when you're under the blanket? It gets darker and darker and darker because it's just you and all your problems. Am I right? Well, I really like that picture. I don't know who put it up, but thank you. Praise God. You know, to finish well is great. But to finish well, we need to start well. We need to start well, whether that's the beginning of our walk with God because it goes on forever and ever and ever, but you know, or just finishing a year. But you know, we need to start well, people. And let's just look at Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. You know, Moses had been running away for 40-odd years. He, you know, he saw the burning bush, you know the story. And God spoke to him through the burning bush. And, you know, and God started to tell him what he wanted Moses to do with his life. But, you know, we pick it up here when it says, then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel, can imagine God is telling him he's got to go and tell the people of Israel, he's got to go and stand before Pharaoh to let his people go. I mean, that wasn't just a simple little thing to do. He was asked to ask Pharaoh for millions of people to be set free out of this nation, out of captivity. So let's start again. So then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Isn't that interesting? And verse 14, and God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. I love this verse. God is I am. Being in India, I could see those, you know, the ministers and all that rising up there against terrible odds in India at the moment. But, you know, they are making sure that God is I am. Amen? And I came back with such a thing on my heart that God is I am. You know, it's interesting, people, that Moses was more concerned about people than he was anything else. He was more concerned about what people would think of him. Isn't that interesting? More concerned about that. God asked him to go to Pharaoh. God asked him to bring forth his people out of slavery. But you know, Moses, he was more worried about what people would think about him. Isn't that interesting, people? And you know what he actually does? He asks God for a reference. He does. He asks God for a reference. Who shall I say has sent me? You know what? It actually came about him. And isn't that incredible? When we face odds, it actually comes about us. Isn't that right? But you know, we have to know that God is the God of I am. It's interesting how God asks us to do something or give something and our eyes go straight to ourselves. Isn't that true, people? It is so true. Our inadequacies, and you know, and we start looking for references. I don't know, I'm sure you know, it's interesting about this because I've never actually done a selfie in my life. But you know what? Who's done selfies here? Come on. Wherever I go in India, you know, it's incredible. You're looking at the Taj Mahal, the most beautiful, one of the most beautiful wonders of the world. And there people are. putting themselves in front of the Taj Mahal. Or I go down to the ocean and it's beautiful and the sunset and God is in it. And then you're in it. We go, wherever we go, or we see something beautiful. Oh, it's beautiful. Isn't it amazing how we love doing selfies? So when you go to show these pictures of the Taj Mahal, all people can see is you. And when you go to show them the pictures of the ocean, all they can see is you. And when you're looking at this most memorial moment of your life, all they can see is you. Because you know what, people? We're all into selfies. And the truth was, Moses was into a selfie. Was he not? He didn't know about it then, but he was a selfie. God, you're I am, but what about me? Incredible. And you know, people, often we do spiritual selfies. Do we not? God asks us to do something, but what will they say? They might like me. Really? See, it wasn't just humility on Moses' part. He was looking at himself instead of God's selection, God's appointment. See, when God asks us to do something, we are his selection. God of the whole world is selecting you. And he has an appointment for you. See, Moses was a very clever person. He was. He was a learned man. He was. With many skills, with many attributes. But you know, just because he was a shepherd at the time that God came to him doesn't mean that should define him. Just because he was a shepherd didn't define him. See, God had a plan from the beginning. God knew he was the man. And I've come to tell you, if you're sitting in this church this morning, you know what? You're the man. You're the man. If you're a woman here this morning, you are the woman. You are the woman. God has a purpose and plan for every life in this place. Instead of getting a selfie out and doing a spiritual selfie on ourselves, but I'm not worthy, I can't do that. I've come to tell you this, that God is the God of I am. And when he calls you, he equips. And he has appointed every one of you to be who he wants you to be. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. You're the woman. You're the man. You're the young person this morning. You know, no matter what your circumstances are, this is the part I love about God. No matter what we're going through right at this very moment, God still has a plan. Do you know that? God's eyes are on you, the man, the woman, the lovely lady with blonde hair just right behind. I'm not quite sure if it's blonde or white, but it's really nice. That's you. Debbie. God, Debbie, I just saw God's eyes just stopping on you. And he wants you to know that you're not just a voice in the crowd. You're just not a face in the crowd. But he actually seeing you this morning. He can see those difficulties. He can see those disappointments. But he can also see your heart is so much for God. You're on a journey and you know that God is I am. And he's going to take you on a greater journey. And you're going to know, but he is I am. He's I am. Not only is he I am, but he will equip you. And I believe God's calling you into a new season. Just into a new season. Like he's been talking to you and you've been feeling like you're sort of walking on sand here. You know, what's going on, God? And God says, I'm just calling you in deeper. I'm calling you in deeper. Deeper, deeper, deeper. Amen. Bless you, Debbie. Praise God. You know, no matter what you've done or how society perceives you, whatever's come down your generation line, we'd all like to bury some of that stuff, wouldn't we? But God has purposed a plan for you and me. Isn't that incredible? Because he is I am. See, to finish well, we need to start well. To start well, we need to have a revelation that God is I am. That's the revelation we need to have. You know, then we will finish well because he will know that he is I am and I am not. Praise God. See, God appointed Moses for the job. Moses did not need a reference. You don't need a reference. He has appointed you for the job. Praise God. See, God moved on Moses' behalf, even from a baby. Even when Moses had no control of his life, God intervened in his life and he was born to be a deliverer. You can imagine his mother, Jochebed. She loved God. But you know, she gives birth to a son at the time when Pharaoh, the king, was murdering all the children under 2 years of age. But she looked at this boy, and we look at our children, don't we? And I want to encourage some people with their children today. You know, God has a purpose and plan for their life, no matter where they are, what's happening in their life. But you know what? She looked at him, and she knew that God had a purpose for her boy. So she hid him for 3 months. I find that a miracle. I don't know how you can keep a three-month-old baby quiet for 3 months. I'm just sure I don't know how that could happen. But you know what? She believed in God, and she actually put her son down a crocodile-infested river. That's what she did. She so trusted that God was I am. See, it's one thing to know that he's I am, but it's one thing to move out in faith in the fact that he's I am. And she moved out in faith in the fact that he was I am. And you know what? Because the daughter went and watched. So I'm sure that Jochebed knew that Pharaoh's daughter used to come down the water at that certain time. And you know what? When she saw the cradle and opened it up, Moses cried. And she felt sorry for him. And she took Moses as her own. She was the daughter of a murderer who picked Moses up. And the murderer who was trying to destroy Moses and all the other children became his grandfather. Became his grandfather. How could we possibly ever work that out? When she stepped out, knowing that he's I am, she had no idea what God's plan was, but she did it in faith. And the man that was murdering people became her protector and the protector of Moses. He actually protected the deliverer of the people that God was going to take out of that place. Is that incredible? That is absolutely incredible. See, it's one thing to know that he's I am. It's one thing to move out in faith on the fact that he is I am. Amen. See, Moses became the man. When we become the man, it becomes our message. And out of that becomes our ministry. And the women here, out of your message comes your ministry. Young person, out of your message comes your ministry. You know, maybe you're here this morning, you think I've failed. You just want to give up. Talk about, you know, finishing well. I just want to give up. Felt you. Or maybe I just didn't hear from God. Or maybe God has changed his mind. How many people move out of ministry because they suddenly believe that God has changed his mind? Just because the enemy is coming on hard and tough, God has not changed his mind. See, often we move out believing he is I am. But then stuff happens. Who knows what stuff is? It's life. Then doubts start. Oh, I'm not really fulfilling God's dreams in this church. What I'm really doing doesn't portray my true abilities or my calling or my true attributes. So we start doubting ourselves. We start doing spiritual selfies, do we not? We become disillusioned. We've all been there. And we want to give up. We forget that God is still I am. I am. God has known you from the beginning. You're the man, you're the woman, you're the young person. You know, often it's just a divine delay. Who likes divine delays? I don't much, but they happen. See, Moses had 40 years gap in the wilderness. 40 years. See, often this delay, people, is about us realizing that God is I am. And we are not. See, God wants us to have complete freedom in him and know that he is I am, that we can set others free. That's what it's all about. That when we are free, we can set others free. But if we just got the selfie all the time and it's all about us, how are we going to set other people free? We need to be free ourselves to set other people free. That's our calling. He is I am. He wants us to stop doing spiritual selfies. And whatever he puts in our hands to do, we continue to serve and give. Because he is the I am. I tell you what, people, you start well, you finish well. You know, saying you're a prince, like Moses could have said, would give you more attention than an ordinary shepherd's boy. Is that true? If a prince walked in here, you'd all be looking. And if a shepherd walked in here, you'd say, what's he doing here? Isn't that right? But Moses was a shepherd. He was a shepherd in the wilderness. And I've come to tell you something. We have to understand that in the wilderness, he heard God's voice more than when he was a prince. He did. He heard God's voice more. Praise God. He heard God's voice a lot more. But then God put the two phases of his life together and he became a deliverer. So he puts the phases of our life together, the good and bad, to be a deliverer. He took my life, the rejection and the abuse and the unlovingness and the uncaring. He took all of that of my life. And then he took me into a phase of his love, his deliverance. You know, just knowing, learning to know who I am in God. He took me on a journey that I knew who I was in him. I didn't have to do a selfie because I knew that he was I am. And then he brings those two phases together. Isn't that right? And that becomes your ministry. That becomes, he takes all that we thought was lost, but he makes something beautiful out of it. And out of that, we become a deliverer to other people. And we finish well. The key I've found is to continue to serve. Be generous in every area of your life. Be determined to finish well. Know without a doubt that he is I am. If nothing else, I want you to go out this place this morning knowing that he is I am. See, when the Lord calls, he equips. There should be no buts in our hearts or minds. God chooses and then he equips. When he says go, you know, every provision has been made for the task. You know, we know to look at I am, not our bank balance, not our watch, not our setbacks, not other people's opinions, not our selfies, but we are to move out in the fact that he is I am and we are not. See, doubt stops us from finishing well, doesn't it? But what if this happens? What if this doesn't happen? I realize that when God gives the command, he equips. Would you agree with me? He gives us all the equipment we need. Jochebed moved out in faith. She just put the baby down a crocodile river and she left the rest to God. We just have to do what God's asked us to do, what's in our hand to do, and leave the rest to God. Isn't that true? Because when God commands, he equips. How can we know that? Because when Moses looked at himself and said, I can't speak, he actually spends two chapters in the Bible telling us all that he can't speak. Isn't that right? God did not answer him. He didn't. God simply responded back to who he was again. He said, I am. It is who God is, not who we think we are. It's I am. I am. To me, they are the most awesome words. But do we realize how significant they really are? That God is I am. He is I am. What God was really saying, he was referring to himself as I am. For one thing, God is much bigger than we can think or imagine. We can't. There's no explanation about the fact he is I am. How can we describe someone who is everything and wrap it up in one name. It's not possible. That's why he said, I am. Didn't add to that. How could Moses question God's identity? But I'm going to show you, we all have questioned God's identity. Every time we are in a place of fear, every time we are in a place where we're unsure of ourselves, every time we are in a place and we're not sure of our position, we are questioning God's identity because we become unsure of ours. So every time we become unsure of our identity, we are questioning God's identity. Can you see that? See, when Moses asked God about God's identity, he simply said, you shall say, I am, has sent me to you. God says, I am who I am. God was simply saying to Moses, you don't have to worry about Pharaoh. I've got it all. I'm able to take care of everything you encounter. And that's for you this morning. Everything you encounter, God will take care of it if you're moving out on his name. Amen. Isn't that exciting, people? Whatever you need, he says, I am. You know what he says? Either I'll get it. If I can't get it, if it doesn't exist, I'll create it. I have everything covered. Not now, but for all time. He's telling us to relax. A lot of stuff's going on in our nations, the nations of the world. He's saying, relax, finish well. Often, when we're asked to do something, we look straight at ourselves. Selfie! I'm not capable of doing that. And inside, you know I am, really. But I've just got to say that. Isn't that right? You've got the wrong person. But if it's I am that's asking us, then he will equip. The question we need to be asking is it I am? If it's I am, we'll start well and finish well. That's the point. At the start, we need to know it's I am. It's asking us to do it. And then we will finish well. See, we worry about so much about who we are or who we are not. We let so many amazing opportunities go by. Opportunities that would have made a difference in someone else's life. When we started the Sari ministry in 2009, this church has been part of that since then, amazing part of it. And you know, there we are up in 2017. Sorry, we're up in 2017. I'll get the pictures up in a moment. We're up into 2017. And, you know, this year has been such a struggle because so much has been happening over in India. There's been so much going back and forward. And, you know, and the finances weren't coming in the way they were, but just when I needed it, the finances come. But, you know, it was a struggle for me more personally, the fact that my husband was so sick and what I was going to do. And God, maybe I'm just not meant to go to India this year. Maybe I'll just let the other two women run with it. And, you know, God kept saying, but I am, I am, I am. So I thought, okay, okay. My family stepped in and I am, okay, okay. The day before, you didn't know this, but the day before I was to step on the plane, Dallas has rang me and they've told me they rushed David to hospital the day before I was to get on the plane. And I'm saying, God, have I really heard that you are I am? He said, I am. So I got on the plane. And when I went to India, I just could not get over the growth in the women. I wouldn't have seen that. I wouldn't have been able to come back to you and relate how women and India are rising up. They are knowing who they are. I do a conference I've been doing every year for about 6 years, not with those saris, but a conference 400 to 500 women. And honestly, every year the men were up there. I'm not against men, but the men were up there. The men were doing the music. The men were doing the leading. The men were doing the interpreting. And I've kept saying, come on, women, come on, women. This year, not one man was up on the pulpit at the women's conference. I'm not against men, but you hear my heart? Yeah. Those women, come on. Those, wow, a little bit. But anyway. These women took it with confidence. And you know, the most amazing thing happened. I can have those two pictures up now, please. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, I hate looking at those pictures. But anyway, but see that there. So we're at the end of the prayer line. And the people, women come rushing up to us. They said, Pastor Lynette, we've got to tell you something. And so they came up to me with this lovely couple. You can see that they're not very young. She got married late. She'd been trying to have a baby for 7 years. Last year, when I was there, I prayed for her. And she's 7 months pregnant. Gets better. You got no idea. I did what Andrew would do. I just burst into tears. But then another couple came up. This is Sharon, the woman that works with me. As you can see, she's much older for an Indian woman because I usually have babies about 16. I'm going to tell you, people, I had seen her year after year because she so wanted a baby. For 20 years! 20 years! She never gave up. Never stopped going to church, kept believing, kept finishing well. And she stood there with Sharon with her newborn baby girl. 20 years. Isn't that incredible? I am. I said, God, thank you so much. I'm so glad you are I am. We've got to stop worrying about what we can or cannot do. The great I am strengthens us in our weakness. You know, we need to become consumed about who God is. Not consumed about what's happening on our country, but we need to become consumed about God is. Not what we have or do not have. You know, God promises that he will finish what he started in us. That purpose and plan in our life, he will finish. He will finish it, not selfie. He will finish it. Praise God. Praise God. I tell you people, there's power in his name. There's deliverance in his name. There's freedom in his name. There's resources in his name. There's salvation in his name. There's comfort in his name. There's hope in his name. There's a future in his name. There's peace in his name. There's healing in his name. Because I tell you what, God can handle everything. Because he is I am. Whether it's difficult or impossible, he is I am. When we question who we are, God's answer is always, I am who I am. Oh, he's an almighty God. He's sufficient in the face of our lack. He is truly everything. And so when this happened, I thought, God, thank you for the ministry, for the saris, for the everything. I thank you for this incredible miracle that you've done and so many other miracles. And then we had 2 days where we were, sounded really exciting. Because we're going to go to the Gateway of India, where I love, because that's where David came out when he was little from India. Gateway, and it takes about an hour in a taxi there. I knew I was going to get on a boat, but I'm thinking about the boats we have in Australia. You know the boats we have? They have seats and all that. I mean, how stupid of me. So I knew I was getting in a boat for an hour. Then after that, I knew I was having an hour's rickshaw drive. You could actually drive to this place, but they said it was just too bumpy, so it's better to go by boat, and then you go on a rickshaw for an hour to get to this place. So anyway, so we're happy, you know, it took us an hour to get to Gateway in the traffic, and so then we keep rushing on this boat, and we got on there, and I thought, when I went there, I saw the queue, and I thought, but there's no ramp. I said to my friend, there's no ramp. How am I going to get across there? You know, I have to be honest. I'm glad I got a four-poster bed because I hang on to that to put my trousers on. And here I am, standing there. I said, what am I going to do? And this little bloke, about big as my arm, puts out his hand for me. I thought, how are you going to hold me? So I thought, what am I going to do? And she said, jump. Oh, God. Oh, man. So I jumped and I made it. I thought, God, you are I am, because I'm definitely not. So we went on the boat ride for an hour. Then we got to the other end. I couldn't believe it, because it happened again. But the space got wider. I said to him, how do you expect people to do this? What do you expect it to do? So anyway, I managed to get over. Then I went on this hour drive in the rickshaw I've been on millions of times. All the road had big holes in it. Can you imagine? for an hour and a half. I got out there and I thought, I can't even walk. How am I ever going to jump out of this boat? So anyway, so next day, we had to do it all again. Lucky us. So we get there and I said to her, let's get early. Because if we get early, I won't have all that crowd behind me. And if I have to jump, I can at least do it ladylike, you know? And so we got there and the same thing. But you know, it got worse because when we got there, there was another boat on the side of that boat. So what I had to do was jump into that boat. Then I had to walk along the other boat and jump out of that boat. I thought, this is terrible. It gets worse. Actually, Sharon's going to be sending some photos and you'll really prove what I'm saying. So anyway, so, you know, all these boats are landing in to Mumbai Gateway. But you normally, you have a space where you put your boat, don't you? Aren't you supposed to have a special space? Well, we had no space. So suddenly, I can see the boat. And all I'm thinking is, God, here I am. Please, God, I was really panicking. And, you know, I should have panicked because, you know what? He sort of launched his boat here. And I thought, oh, my, it's a cliff. There's a cliff going down. I can't jump cliffs. I can't. The cliff's going down. And then I thought, oh, there's a little path. There's a little pathway coming down the cliff. I had to jump from here onto that little pathway, somehow turn my body, not fall off the cliff, and struggle up the cliff. But it's another problem. Because all the people, you know, Indians, they're all pushing to come down to get on the boat, which we haven't got off yet. And I'm nearly crying. I'm saying, God, how can I do this? How can I do this? And you know, sometimes when we step out in God and we really believe and know it's God, sometimes things can become tough. Can't they, people? They can really become tough. You know, just like at that moment, things were tough, but that can be life. But that doesn't mean to say that he is not I am. That doesn't mean to say that he has called you and he has a purpose for you and he has a plan for your life. Just because suddenly at that moment it's tough. Because, you know, people got tougher. Because now I had to turn and I had to try and walk up these little steps up the cliff without falling off. And people were pushing against me. That's how we feel sometimes. We think, God, we've given up everything. Given up all my finances. I know the most generous person who, no fault of her own, has just lost everything financially. You know, and we can think, God, how can that happen? But you know what? At that moment, he is still I am. And as I was pushing up, I thought, I just looked up and just kept seeing me getting higher and higher. Suddenly, through the crowd, I could see a silver bar. You know, like a handle thing. I thought, you know what? If I could just get hold of that, I can make this thing. And I thought, I'm going to become a foreigner. Excuse me. And I pushed him out the way. Well, I've been there 31 times, so I've learned. But so I grabbed the thing and I thought, oh, my God, I'm hanging on to hand something. I got a rail. Oh, God, I was so happy. Isn't it like that? Oh, God, and everything's going wonderful. Now you're wonderful. But it was wonderful when I didn't have the rail. Can you hear my heart? It was wonderful when I didn't have the rail. And you know what happened? I'm hanging on the rail, pushing against all the people. I was so happy. And all of a sudden, before I got to the end, the rail ran out. I thought, oh, no. Oh, no. What am I going to do now? Just like we all have to do. We just have to keep going. We just have to finish well. I finished well. And I finished, and you know, I've got to be honest, when I just sat down and I burst into tears and I thought, God, I'm really trying to finish well, but you're making it jolly hard. But you know what? He is. I am. Praise God. Praise God. Nothing takes the Lord by surprise. I am sins. You obey. He has made every provision for the appointed task. It's not about Moses. Never was. It was about the people crying out for freedom. And you know, the truth is, the answer was in when God commissioned Moses, but Moses didn't get it. Exodus 3:7, the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Know means to perceive, to distinguish, to recognize, acknowledge, to be acquainted with. Moses did start and he did finish well. And I tell you what, Moses' commission was to be part of the deliverance. And I tell you what, we have been commissioned to be part of delivering our nation and delivering people. Let us finish with this verse, people. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go therefore. This is your commission. Your commission. Every one of us. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. No matter what's happening, he is with us because he is I am. And people, that is our commission, to make disciples. Lives are counting on us, identifying with I am. Lives are counting us on us starting well and finishing well. Let us stand, and I'm going to pass over to Pastor Nigel. People, just lift your hands if you feel comfortable doing that. I feel this is a prophetic word, and I believe God's been speaking to you through this word. I just want to lift your hands and just for a moment, you know, just say, oh, well, the message is over. No, it's just beginning, because now we've got to really recognize that he is I am. Just lift him now and say, God, you are I am. God, I don't understand. I feel like Pastor Lynette when she was on that cliff. But you know what? You are still I am. Father, I pray that everyone will go out of this place knowing that you are I am. That you've got everything in your hands. You've got everything. Today, everyone in this room is the man, the woman, the young person, and you've called everyone. And Father, you are I am. Father, I pray that we'll start standing up and living a life that knows that you are I am. Amen.